Chapter 4. During the times that I myself was at Belzec, the gas installation was still housed in a hut which was lined with sheet metal and which held about 100 people. Testimony of Josef Oberhauser. I threw my jacket on the bed, grabbed a Diet Coke from the fridge, shoved some leftover ravioli into the microwave, and flicked the CD player on. I had moved into this apartment after Jennifer and I broke up. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Move to a new neighborhood, put some space between me and the office, get involved with a different social set. The apartment was within walking distance of an Orthodox shul, or synagogue, vital for Shabbat, the Sabbath day, when I couldn't drive. I had two bedrooms, one of which nobody had ever used. The building itself was immaculate. It boasted a resplendent lobby with marble floors and wall-length mirrors, so you couldn't tell whether you were coming or going. But the place never quite felt like home. My one major purchase had been a king-size bed, which seemed as big as a swimming pool when I lay in it alone. I drowned in it every night. Truth was, I longed for female company. Most of my friends were deep in married bliss, with two or three kids already in tow. At the synagogue, nearly every week, some amateur matchmaker tried to fix me up on a blind date, but none of these led to anything. Word had gone around that I was too picky and difficult to please. Lately, I'd been having lustful thoughts about Lynn, my assistant, who had to be 8 or 9 years younger than me. She had a law degree, but she still carried the air of a student about her. Her energy level and enthusiasm were scary. Just the sight of her tearing down the corridor, perpetually in a hurry, sent a low-level electrical jolt through my body. But she was off limits, making passes at personal assistants, even those wearing glasses.